Orale! Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP podcast. This is your host, Jorge Martin, Familia. Man, I love these strategy sessions. I feel like I learn. I feel like I get to pass on some great information to you. This is just fantastic. And you know what? Like I told you, we're having some heavy hitters and got another slugger coming your way. First off, I want to make sure you're following us, Familia FFB, on YouTube. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, hit that like button, throw a comment in there. I will actually personally answer any comments that you've got on there. If you got any questions, anything like that. And also make sure you're going to underdogfantasy.com. Use that promo code Familia23. Going to get matched the first $100. There's going to be pick'ems coming up. You could get a little basketball drafts coming up before the start of the NFL season, because it is coming. We're almost a little more than a week away. And let's dive into it. You know what? This is our invitado today. Gosh, he almost needs no intro because he's become just a compadre. He's become one of my favorite people in this industry. Someone I consider a very, very cherished friend. We talk baseball as much as we talk football and just bonded forever. He's one of the co-owners of Fantasy Points. He is also el hombre who created Yards Created. And yes, familia, he confirmed for me before this, he was not one of the Coors Field faithful who jumped the fence and went to go hug Ronald Acuña last night. He confirmed that for me. So let's bring him in. Graham Barfield, mi amigo, compadre, welcome.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks. It's great to do another show with you. Always good to talk to you. And our text thread is basically just baseball. We never talk football. You were like, you went to a Dodgers game last night and you're sending me pictures. So I love it, man. Yeah, and for what it's worth, I do want to hug Ronald Acuña. He's made me a lot of money this season. I drafted him in a ton of baseball leagues. So while I didn't get the chance to hug him, I wish I could. He also wears my number. I used to wear 13. I can't hate a number 13. That 13 chain is just so swaggy.
It's so tight, so good. And somehow with all the stolen bases, he never loses the chain or anything, or it doesn't break or anything like that.
It's a part of him at this point. It just like sticks to his neck, doesn't come off. That's what I'm convinced of.
I'm stoked that he's coming out to Dodger Stadium this weekend. Gosh, unfortunately, I've got like family commitments, one of them being our Familia draft. But believe me, we're going to have the TV. Dodgers Braves, it's going to be fun. Preview of the NLCS, I predict.
That will be the World Series. That's like the World Series this year, Braves, Dodgers to me. And then, you know, the AL is just, we were talking about it before the show, the AL is just so much weaker, you know. It'll probably be, who do you think it'll be real quick before we get going? Who's going to make it to the AL? Rangers, Astros?
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised if the Mariners got there. They're running hot, man.
They're running really hot. They got good pitching too. Good pitching.
Though there's a part of me that's really rooting for the Orioles, kind of like, you know, almost like that worst to first, you know, they were so bad for a long time. Yeah. It'd be fun to see them kind of come out of nowhere.
Fun, real quick, small world story. Their pitching coach, Chris Holt, was my high school pitching coach. He worked all the way up through IMG Academy, through the minors, and he's now the pitching coach for the Baltimore Orioles. He's been there for, I think, 3 years now. Holty's the man. It's been so cool to see his success. He used to call me Daffy Duck because I had, like, the slowest feet among the pitching group on ground balls, like short ground balls. But he's the man. I'm pulling for the Orioles too. I'd love to see them win the division too. It looks like they will. I mean, to beat Yankees, Red Sox, so cool.
That whole thing. I mean, the Rays are so good. I mean, everybody in that division is so good. But it'd be kind of fun. It'd be fun to see somebody other than the Giants wearing orange and black in the World Series. So
yes. O's fans are so passionate too. Baltimore fans are some of the most passionate fans in the MLB too. So baseball is in such a good spot, man. We got to stop talking ball. We got to talk fantasy football here.
Let's baseball all the time. Oh, well, let's jump in. Well, yeah, when they're in the World Series, we're going to be going back and forth all crazy because we'll have football stuff and everything. But, you know, kind of looking into this, and this has been a great series already, very popular. We had Pat Fitzmaurice on last week and Kendall Valenzuela, who actually just so happened we were in a group, our Scott Fishbowl group. We went to a game that we were at the Dodger game last night. So that was kind of fun. But going into this, you know, there's been so much talk about different strategies to do. The wide receivers are getting pushed up way more. I think we've all talked about the fact that it's because of underdog. But what are a couple of your favorite draft strategies? Something that when you're going into a draft, or actually that you're recommending to people who are asking, what precepts you're going by?
Yeah. So, you know, I went back and actually looked the last 2 years. I wrote a whole article series on just that, you know, just discussing how much underdog has kind of influenced the game and roster mm-hmm. construction. And we're seeing exactly that, right? I mean, all these receivers are being pushed up the board. You know, you'll see, I was in a draft last night. You'll see some drafts and, like, you know, teams in drafts where you only have to start two wide receivers, you'll see running backs get pushed up a little bit more. But in general, yeah, you're right. Wide receivers are getting pushed up. My favorite strategy, and this has been my favorite strategy, Jorge, for gosh, 4 or 5 years now, is I play hero or superhero running back. And what I mean by that is I try to target at least one running back in the first two rounds. I have like a specific group of maybe 2 to 3 running backs every single year in rounds 1 and 2 that I want. And then I just draft wide receiver heavy from rounds basically 3, 4, 5, and 6, especially if it's a league where I have to start 3 wide receivers. And this year, my biggest strategy is I want either one of these elite quarterbacks or I want to completely punt the position. So I've been taking a lot more Jalen Hurts, a lot more Lamar Jackson, a lot more Josh Allen in the 3rd and 4th rounds of drafts. Because when you kind of execute the thesis behind zero running back is also kind of an influence to this hero running back draft strategy that I use. It's also like you kind of want positional advantages at either tight end or quarterback too. And now, I mean, you know, man, we've got 4, 5 really great, like I call them pinball scoring machine quarterbacks. Like Jalen Hurts can get it done on the ground and through the air. Same with Josh Allen, same with Patrick Mahomes. Like these guys are difference makers. And when you have Hurts going out there and scoring 25 to 26 points per game, while your opponent has like Trevor Lawrence who's scoring like 19, like that's great, but that's a 6 to 7 point difference. And now these quarterbacks at the elites are scoring at a higher level that, you know, the mid-tier quarterbacks just can't get to. So that's another big part of my strategy this year is typically I want one wide receiver going in the first round. I've been taking a ton of Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp. I love Austin Eckler in the first round, so that's been one of my backs. And I love Tony Pollard in the second. Like, we're going to talk through a couple guys that we're all in on. I'm all in on Tony Pollard. I think he has top 3 in his range of outcomes out of the position. I think he has a top 5 player overall scoring potential in this offense. If you look back last year, he was the RB9 in points per game, but if you just give him 35% of Zeke's vacant red zone role, he would have finished as the RB5. So like we already have like a good projection for him. So Pollard, man, he's been like my main guy in these kind of like hero running back builds, especially when I take a receiver in the first round. I love Pollard in the second. Like he should not be a second round player.
And you know what? I was kind of tepid on him for a long time because I kept expecting Dallas to grab another body in there. And it's not. I mean, I really feel like they're going to use him the same way that the Chargers used Eckler last year. Still the small guy, but still getting the red zone carries. And I think I'm going to make up for being tepid on him early through my home league drafts that I have coming up.
There you go.
And just grab him there because, I think he's going to be and it feels like a little bit that things are going to be funneled. I think it's going to be him and CeeDee Lamb and Dak are going to be the main guys there. So,
Look at their personnel. You look at Dallas's personnel, and you know, I know Mike McCarthy said he wants to be run heavy and he wants to rest his defense, yada yada yada. But like, you look at their personnel, man. This is like a pass first team. They're an 11 personnel heavy team with CeeDee Lamb in the slot. They got Brandon Cooks outside now. Like they're going to play a ton of 3 wide receiver, especially with Dalton Schultz gone. Like they're going to have to rely on the receivers more. To me, Pollard has just been like a standout value. You know, he was going in like the 19-20 overall range, like back half of the second round all summer. That started to come up, but I don't really think there's a price you can be out on Tony Pollard.
No, I wouldn't be surprised to start seeing him going at the end of the first round drafts or definitely early too. Can you imagine, you know, some of the builds you were talking about with, you know, Jefferson or Chase, you know, 1-2. And then come back and get Pollard at, you know, toward which he was always there at the end of the second round. Yeah. And I think it's just, it's fantastic. Plus, you know, that whole week, where are you on the whole week 17, you know, looking ahead to week 17?
So for best ball, I think it's massively important, especially in obviously an underdog where we're, you know, it's basically we're trying to win four uncorrelated tournaments, right? You're trying to win the regular season, then you're trying to win week 15 and 16, which are both uncorrelated tournaments. Week 17, we actually have information, you know, right? We've got all the matchups, and especially if you're playing in like other tournaments on like drafters, is of extreme importance in best ball. In season-long fantasy, I don't care. You know, that's we got way bigger problems in season-long. Season-long to me is a weekly, truly weekly grind game. Like I said, I want these pieces that are going to be foundation guys every single week in season-long. Like the Justin Jeffersons, the elite wide receivers. I love Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs and Tony Pollard is like my favorite start, especially if you're in like a 10-team league. You can get Diggs and Pollard at like the 8 to 9 turn. Ooh. You know, you can get them right there. I love that pairing. My point in all of this is like, I want difference makers. You know, I want guys that are going to be like absolutely hammering my opponents at a positional level. In season long, it's a totally different game. But yeah, for best ball, week 17 definitely matters. And, you know, if you're drafting, let's say Tony Pollard, right? Keep mm-hmm. with the example. You should definitely be targeting Lions for sure. You should be starting your best ball teams with Amon-Ra, St. Brown, and Tony Pollard to kind of get some week 17 correlation there. I like Pollard with Montgomery. You could take Pollard with Sam Laporta. You know, there's ways to correlate week 17 and still target guys that you would otherwise still want on your fantasy team, right? Like that's the whole point of correlating for week 17 is like you're still going to draft. You still want Lions players. You're still going to want players on that offense. So why not stack them with Cowboys?
No, I think it's I think it's fun. I've done a couple where I've thought I've looked ahead to that point. I mean, yes, you're right. You still got to get to still got to get there, but it is kind of fun to dream on. You know, Jalen Hurts going up against Arizona in Week 17 at home, or going
gosh, dude, that game. If Kyler is playing and the Cardinals are like a little competitive. My concern with that game is like the Eagles have the division lined up. And Kyler won't be playing, and like it could be a totally dusty game. But if Kyler's playing in that game, I mean, that game could score 65 points for sure.
Oh, man. That's why I'm hoping that what I'm hearing about the Cowboys and what I've seen is like, I think the Cowboys are going to be good, and I think they're going to make that competitive. Mm-hmm. That'll be fun, and the Giants will be better. So I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park for the Eagles.
I'm with you. I was doing the podcast this 2 weeks ago with Retriebar, and we were talking about Dallas, and he had the same vibe I do. It's like, okay, everybody's kind of out on Mike McCarthy, but man, their defense is so good. Like that defense is going to keep them in a ton of games just right off the top, regardless of what you think about their offense. Dallas to me still looks like a 10-win team, and same with the Giants. Like they're going to be better this year, much better offensive line. So I still think the Eagles win the division pretty handedly, but you're right. I mean, the NFC East is definitely stronger now than it's ever been. I mean, Washington finally has a quarterback too. Like Sam Howell's looked pretty good. So
That to me is just even being pretty good to get him be pretty good and possibly Kenny Pickett be pretty good. Desmond Ritter is even passable. I'd be beyond the moon on that one. So, you know, you mentioned Daniel Jones. You know, there's a part of me that maybe it's overthinking it, but there's a part of me that, and I'm very, very high on Justin Fields. I believe you are too. I believe mm-hmm. you mentioned it before. There's a part of me that's like, man, could Daniel Jones give Justin Fields a run for being like a dual threat and kind of maybe be up there with him in fantasy points this year?
Fields has a higher ceiling just because he's so much more talented as a runner. But yeah, I mean, Jones has always been, I think, undervalued in fantasy. I think this is maybe the first year he's finally been appropriately valued. He's, you know, he goes in the hundreds of drafts. Most of the time he's, you know, the QB12 or QB13 by ADP. So, you know, last year he was like free. I mean, he was like, people weren't even drafting him in most your, you know, season long leagues. I picked him up in a couple leagues and had to stream him by the end of the year. He was great. You know, in best ball, he was, 13th, 14th round. This year, you're going to have to pay, you know, 9th, 10th round for pick for him. So yeah, he's appropriately priced. To be honest with you, there's a whole mix. And, you know, we were talking about Superflex before we started in recording here. This kind of is a good conversation into Superflex because this year there is 7 or 8 quarterbacks that are in that like back end QB1 to front end QB2 range. It's like, I love Jalen Hurts. I'm telling you to draft him as wherever you can in your one quarterback leagues, but like you know, he's my QB1. You would obviously take him at 101 in Superflex, but there's a whole tier of mid-range quarterbacks this year that if you don't get an elite quarterback, you're in a Superflex league, like, you can feel more than comfortable getting like three or four of those mid-tier like kind of guys and then just stream between them. And you're not spending, you know, as near as much as some of the, you know, other people in your league that might be taking two elite quarterbacks. And Daniel Jones is a big part of that this year, I think.
Oh man. Yeah. It's especially, he's got a little bit of the running aspect to it. So I think it's, I love that, that you mentioned that. And there's going to be some guys that have some spike weeks. That's not, still, even super flex or single QB, I still want one of those big guns, because they're such a difference maker. You know, one question I wanted to ask you about, you know, with elite QB strategy, I've heard a lot of people talk about, you know, if you go elite QB, you can't go elite tight end. And you mentioned the onesie positions, but you know, could this be a year that might be possible with, you know, a Kelce or an Andrews?
Yeah, so it depends on your league. If you have to start three receivers, I would highly recommend not taking a quarterback and a tight end in your first two or your first three picks. Because I've done it before with Mahomes and Kelce in best ball. And I've talked to Chris Wex, who's incredible. He's an incredible data analyst, and you guys will get to know him more in the next couple of years. But he helps basically run fantasy points data. He's the guy behind the scenes, and he wrote an incredible piece looking at stacking. And, you know, I guess the point in best ball is you're looking to maximize your ceiling outcomes. So, and of course, you want a little Mahomes and Kelce, but you look at your three receivers at the end of the day and you're like, man, I really don't like Amari Cooper as my wide receiver. Like, I absolutely can't stand that. Like, and it's like, man, you're going to be fighting upstream. Like, unless Cooper has a ceiling that he's not had before, you're going to be fighting upstream against the teams that have Justin Jefferson and maybe T. Higgins together, or the teams that have like Jalen Waddle and CeeDee Lamb together. You know what I mean? Like, so as much as I am drafting these upside quarterbacks, I've not drafted a ton of Travis Kelce. I've got to say it. I've been taking Stephon Diggs. I've been taking Austin Eckler. It's for that reason. It's, you know, it's really, really hard to feel good about your receiver groups when you take a tight end early. I like Mark Andrews fine in the third round. Like, he's a good third round pick, especially if you don't take a quarterback, you know, so it's tricky. But man, I have not been taking a lot of like single elite quarterback, single elite tight ends, just because of the wide receiver problem. Now, again, if you're in a two receiver league and you only have to play two receivers, then absolutely there's some merit for it, because receiver's pretty deep this year, and you could maybe hit on one or two guys that just like really pop as values.
Right.
But if you're in a league where you have to start three wide receivers, I would highly recommend this year is not the year for it. There's just too many good receivers that go that early.
Oh yeah, with everything being pushed up. I mean, I almost feel like you could do a zero RB build, you know, but it's still hard.
So here's the thing. Here's the thing that kind of has gotten lost in like the receiver heavy Discord, right? It's like, okay, we're pushing receivers up the board. That's correct. And I think that's just like the right thing to do in general, especially when you have to start three of them. But if you are looking at rankings and you're doing any sort of projections and you get to like wide receiver 38, it dies this year.
Yeah.
So it's also a scarcity thing. It's like, you know, we're pushing these receivers up the board because it's more efficient. There's more running backs to draft in the mid rounds than ever. So it's also pushed the receivers up the board, but it's also like, it is a scarcity thing. Once you know, in best ball, it's a different thing because you're just looking for spike weeks. But if we're talking season long, receiver heavy makes even more sense because, man, like, do you really want Gabe Davis to be your wide receiver too? Like, you know, he's going in that wide receiver 38 to 40 pocket, but like, I know I don't. Like, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you're going to be fighting upstream against guys that, you know, are, you know, teams in your league that have way better receivers. So, you know, to me, it's a balance. Every draft is a balance, and, you know, you've got to understand your league rules. And I think a big part of this is, if anybody has like a big takeaway from the strategy pod or takes anything away from what I say, it's just be ultra aware of how many receivers you have to start, and then kind of let that dictate your rankings. Cause again, if you only have to start two in your league, like, definitely push those running backs up, push the quarterbacks up too, because that they give you more positional advantage. You have one less starting position. So again, I think the biggest edge, Jorge, overall is just like knowing what buttons to push in regards to your league, because every league is a little different. And I say this all the time when I'm answering questions, like, you know your league best, you know your league settings best. it's up to you to kind of like apply, okay, I know what they said. You know, when there's two receivers, I can push up the running backs a little more. I can push up the quarterbacks more. If you have to start three, though, like I've got to fill out those receiver spots, and especially if you have to start a flex. You know, most of the time, man, I don't know about – I'll kick it back to you. What do you think most of the time when you have to start like one quarterback, two running backs, three receivers, a flex, and a tight end? Who do you typically want in that flex spot? Is it receiver or running back? Like, what's your gut?
I'm going. I'm trying to filter. I'm trying to go in that kind of thing, in that kind of build. Mm-hmm. I'm actually trying to do a hero RB, kind of like what you were what you were talking about earlier. And I want to try and fill that flex spot before I fill the second running back or the tight end. I want that. I want another receiver in there.
I'm with you. And this is the thing. It sets up perfectly this year. You can get Rashad White in the 6th, 7th, 8th round. You don't even have to like push him up your board, really. Like, I've done two huge drafts in the last two of the last three nights. I've gotten Rashad White on both teams, and both times he was going in the 7th round. It's perfect. He's a perfect RB2, RB3 play. I like Khalil Herbert for this, all the same reasons. He's being pushed up the board, I know, but he's going to be the clear lead back. But Rashad White to me is like a standout value, and he's been, you know, if I could get my two running backs like Pollard and Rashad White on every team, like I would take that 10 times out of 10 with a bunch of receivers that I can play. Because, you know, we see it every year. You know, we think we have running back depth until it gets to week 6. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's RB3 is going to be trash by week 6. So most of the time you're going to want receivers in that flex spot, just like exactly how you answered it. You're going to want 4 good receivers in a league like that. And again, you can still do it, man. Like, you can very easily get 4 great wide receivers. I was in a 14-team Kings Classic League draft. I did 2 or 3 weeks ago. My wide receiver 3 is Calvin Ridley. I started 3 receivers, went 3 receiver heavy. My RB1 is Miles Sanders. My RB2 is Rashad White. You know, you can do it. It's so, the ADP sets up perfectly this year simply because we have so many running backs in that range that project really, really well and really, really well against the wide receivers. Like, that's the biggest part. Rashad White versus Quentin Johnson is not a debate. Like, and they go in kind of a similar pocket. It's not a debate.
Oh, that's good. You know, another guy that I'm targeting kind of in that range is James Cook, just because
He's really started to come up in price, but I'm with you. He's my RB. I have him ahead of Madison. He's like my RB22.
Mm.
But yeah, man, he's really started to come up in price. I was hammering him when he was going at like RB28 in like the 80s on Underdog. Now he's going in the 60s, but I still think he's a fine pick in the 60s.
No, I love it. I love it. Yeah, Devin Singletary left behind a lot of targets that are unclaimed right now. So I'm really feeling good about that one. But but on your tight end strategy, any targets that you have there?
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's really draft dependent, right? Like, in an ideal world, I'd love to get Darren Waller or like Kyle Pitts at a great price in like the 6th through 8th round, depending on my team. But I'm like you. I want at least 2 wide receivers before I draft my tight end. Most likely 3. I'm most likely taking 3. I will say I've been kind of shying away from, like I said, I've been shying away from Kelce in the first round because I like Diggs more and I like Eckler more. It's not really a shot against Kelce. I just think relatively those two players are more valuable to their positions. Kelce's a 34-year-old. He's not going to repeat like what he did last year. I think Mark Andrews is going to cut the gap. Like, this Ravens offense is ready to take flight. Andrews has been a target for me. Hockenson in the 5th. I like Hockenson in the 5th, but not in the 4th. Like I said, Pitts or Waller at the right price on the right team in like the 6th, 7th. But then other than that, man, like, it's mainly been streaming. Like, you know, I'll take Pat Freiermuth and Chigakonkwo and just stream those two guys and maybe one pops. You know, that's usually my strategy in a lot of leagues. Honestly, it ends up being that. It's like, okay, somebody overdrafted Darren Waller again. Like, fine, I'll just stream. I'll stream between Freiermuth and Chig, and maybe one of those guys, you know, pops. Or one guy I like super late, if you're in a 14-team league like you are, is Jake Ferguson. He's really come up in price. He was free like 3 weeks ago, so it's getting a lot harder to draft him. But Yeah, Jake Ferguson should be full-time player for the Cowboys this year. I don't think he's going to replace Dalton Schultz in terms of like production. He's not going to be like a back end, you know, tight end one, but definitely some sleeper appeal with Ferguson this year.
Yeah, you know what? When I picked him in my Scott Fishbowl draft, there were a lot of curse words that came out after that. So I
was very nice. Very, very nice.
Very, yeah, that was even more than when I took Mahomes 101 overall. So
I had the 101 too. I took Hurts. So that's interesting. Oh. We went two different quarterbacks, but yeah, quarterback was the call there. Everybody, there was a whole debate of like whether or not to take Kelce there. And I'm like, nah. You guys are not focusing on the right thing here. This is still a super flex league. Like we still got to start two quarterbacks. So
I did not, I could force, I mean, I remember I've done two Scott Fishbowl drafts and I just know how quickly the quarterbacks go.
Yes.
And I know how ugly it would be at the 212 and then,
yep. Yeah, I did the same thing. It's funny. You and I haven't even talked about this. We had the same read. I took Hurts and Dak, and I was like, okay, I'm good. I'm not going to take any more quarterbacks. I'm fine now. Just go nuts on receivers and running backs.
Even getting Dak there in the second round is a good is a good deal. I feel like he was gone by that point. But yeah, that one. That one, I just was like, you know what? I just want to have fun. Mahomes is my favorite player. I'm just going to.
See, that's that. I was just talking to my wife about this yesterday because we have like our big family league coming up that I like commissioned for with like my cousins and stuff. And she's like, I don't know who to pick this year. I'm like, Ashley, just pick who you want to pick. Like, have fun. If Mahomes is your guy, like, pick Mahomes. Like, go get your guys. Like, you know, we're going to talk strategy. And I know everybody wants to win. You know, we talked strategy for the last 30 minutes, but like, at the end of the day, this is fun. Get the players that you want to root for. Get the players that can score a lot of fantasy points, obviously, but get the players that you want to root for. And if there's, you know, if you think Ja'Marr Chase is going to outscore Justin Jefferson this year and you're a Bengals fan, you really want Chase, it's close enough. Draft Ja'Marr Chase over Justin Jefferson. Do it. Like, it's your team. Have fun and own it.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. On one of my Dodger League, the number one overall, the guy who had the number one overall pick is a Charger fan, and we were just riding him. You got to take Herbert. It's super flex. It's like, come on, get your guy. Forget about Mahomes. Get your guy. So he went Mahomes, and so we're Dan Gilmore. Remember, I'm giving you a hard time about that one, mi amigo. But yeah, that one is. I did keep telling him. It's like, look. Herbert is still one of four active players to throw for 5,000 yards. Mahomes be another one. So he could get close, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
We talked about so many players. Any fades?
Any players that I'm like outright out on right now? I'm just trying to think. DeAndre Hopkins. I'll say I've not drafted any DeAndre Hopkins. He's just been going too early for me. I have him projected as like a back end wide receiver too. So I'm not like projecting him to like fail this year completely. I think I have him at like wide receiver 26, but he's been going around wide receiver 19. I can't take him over some of these upside receivers, man. Like I really can't. I'm a little bit of an ageist. Hopkins is entering year 10, which Ryan Heath from Fantasy Points identified in his age curves article is like, that's when receivers start to fall off. And last year we saw a little bit of decline from DeAndre Hopkins. His efficiency against zone coverage was really good. Like Hopkins was still really good against beating zone coverages, but he really, really struggled against man. And that's typically like a sign of skill regression. And you mix in the fact that the Titans are going to be a run heavy offense. Once again, they always play slow. It'll be a Derrick Henry, led offense. They've got a good second running back now in Tyjae Spears, which might even more commit them to the run. Yeah, I just can't make a huge upside argument for Hopkins over players like Christian Watson, over players like DJ Moore, over players like Deontay Johnson. Like Deontay Johnson is one of three players, Jorge, to have 140 targets in three straight seasons. The other two were Davante Adams and Stephon Diggs. Like, I get it. He scored no touchdowns last year. Everybody thinks he stinks, but no, all he does is earn targets. Again, he's another guy who's younger than Hopkins. I like him more. This might be probably my boldest take I have, to be honest with you, is I've been out on Hopkins. There's not really, I'm trying to think. I don't think I've drafted him, honestly. Definitely a couple best ball drafts just to get some exposure, but not in any big season long leagues that I have, any money in. I like Treylon Burks, actually. I would much rather draft Treylon Burks in the 9th or 10th round at the price of free as your wide receiver five. He's healthy now. Knee injury seemed truly minor. I think he's going to I think Hopkins will open things up for Burks. And again, like, I don't really want to invest in Titans pass catchers. We've done this before. They didn't feed AJ Brown 10 targets a game, you know, and that's AJ Brown, you know, come on. Like, DeAndre Hopkins is a borderline Hall of Fame player, but I just don't see the upside for him as like your wide receiver two in the fourth round. He's been a guy I've been struggling to draft.
Oh man, you're right about that range. It's so easy to just, focus on the upside. You know, Scott Barrett has his upside, wins championships.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is like the running backs in that range are really solid too. Like, I love Travis Etienne this year. I've been drafting receiver heavy, and I'll get Travis Etienne as my RB1 at the end of the third round or the fourth round. I'm taking him over DeAndre Hopkins. Like, I think you can make an argument for Joe Mixon. You know, we're talking about potentially washed players, but Joe Mixon is a bell cow running back on a Joe Burrow led offense, and he's going in the fourth round. Like, I'm taking him over DeAndre Hopkins too. So it's just, again, it's an opportunity cost type of thing. I think if Hopkins were like a sixth round player, I'd be in. But man, he's just been like catnip. Everybody thinks he's going to get a ton of targets and be the, you know, same player he's always been. But yeah, I'm out.
Oh man. Fantastic. Fantastic. Any last bit of draft advice you got?
Last bit of draft advice. Don't overreact to the preseason, but don't underreact either. Like, there's definitely been a few teams, like, real quick, Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren kind of look like they're going to be in a 60-40 committee, which is what it was last year. The Broncos are changing their offense. They're going to be a lot more too tight and heavy, which is going to change some things. I think they're going to be a lot more run heavy this year. So again, you know, we should be using preseason to kind of like, you know, round out our final projection notes and maybe changing and tweaking a few things, but don't overreact. Don't go too crazy. Justin Ross made the Chiefs. Don't start drafting him over, you know, all of these wide receivers we just talked about. don't go too crazy. But at the end of the day, like I said, man, fantasy's fun. Get the players that you want to root for. Get the players that you think are going to score a lot of fantasy points. And yeah, have a good year, man. This is going to be a really fun year. I got to say, just off the top, this is my 10th year playing fantasy full-time and writing fantasy full-time. I can't remember a year where there's been more fun in drafts this year. Like, seriously, I know it's harder to get good receivers than ever now, but all these running backs in the mid rounds have made this really, really fun. And there's going to be some teams that you're going to look back on that you're going to be like, wow, I really wish I didn't draft that guy there. Like, but I think there's going to be some super teams this year, like absolute super teams with all of these great receivers. One of these running backs, man, maybe I hope it's Rashad White, pops like big. You know, this is going to be a really interesting year, depending on how these mid round running backs perform.
Yeah, mid round running backs, and I think what quarterbacks kind of step up, that take a step forward, because I think we need more quarterbacks, please, more quarterbacks.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is like, that's what we were talking about. I either want one of the elites, or I'm just going to punt and take Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones, you know, and string those two guys, and hopefully one of them pops. Because you're right, I mean, it's like, you know, there's the top 5-6, and then, you know, depending on how you feel about Justin Fields, you know, maybe there's a 7. I mean, I'm lumping Justin Herbert into that. But yeah, you know, this year it's tricky at quarterback. It really is. It's kind of a weird year in that sense, but it's amazing at running back. Like, that's the thing. It's never been a better year at running back.
Oh man, we're getting deals. It's sale. Everything's on sale. So love it. Love it. All right, mi amigo, you gave me, you told me one of the amazing dishes you had recently. Please, I'm giving you the floor. Favorite Mexican food takes, because I know you got good stuff there.
Oh man. What have I had? I told you I had quesadilla. 2 weeks ago, it was incredible, from a place called El Matate. I forgot the name of this place, man. I had an incredible mole. It was like,
oh my goodness.
Oh my God. It was like a chicken mole. It was incredible. Can't remember the name of that place though.
It's funny.
That's the two best I can remember right now.
You just reminded me of one of my favorite comments from my NFL Insider series, Greg Bell from the Tacoma News Tribune. When we were talking about the Seahawks, he told me, "You give me a good mole, I'll eat cardboard with it." And it's,
dude, you're not, it doesn't even matter. It's like chicken, steak, it doesn't matter. It's so true. It's, oh my God, man, it's the truth. It's the absolute truth. That's hilarious.
One of the things my mom occasionally she would make homemade corn tortillas, and you just like you roll them up into it and then just dip it. Oh,
you don't need anything with that besides that. It sounds delicious.
Oh man,
I always get so hungry talking to you. This is the one pod I do where I'm like starving afterwards. I had pizza beforehand. I put some pizza in the air fryer. Now I'm starving again. So.
Oh man,
I'm mad at you right now.
Oh, mi amigo. All right, well, I'm gonna have to DoorDash you some tacos or something now, or some birria.
Yes, but thank you. Oh. Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, man. This is always so fun to talk to you, and would love to try and find some time during the season for us to catch up too.
Definitely. I mean, so many big things happening in fantasy points. Please, especially I've been using the fantasy points data in my content. It's game changer, mi amigo. Game changer.
Well, I appreciate it, man. We spent a lot of time. Yeah, fantasy points data. It's going to be the home for your like research hub. We have charted. I say we. It's Brett Whitefield and his team, along with Chris Wecht. They have a team of charters that have collected every single data point from every single play over the last 2 years, and we have converted it into tools that you can use, and it's all digested into your favorite fantasy scoring system. So like all of if you're playing half point PPR, if you're playing full PPR, if you're just looking for best ball, we have best ball scoring. If you're looking for just DFS and in season, you don't really care too much about season long fantasy, but you only want to play DFS. We have that for DraftKings and FanDuel. So all of this can be digested into there. And for this season, it's only $50. We're really, really excited. And I think, if you try it out for free, we have a free trial. After that, it'll be $50 for the year. And I guarantee you, you'll love it. So again, fantasy points data, data.fantasypoints.com. It's been a labor of love, I gotta say. It's been really, really cool to see the response around the industry, and I'm really glad that you're enjoying it, man.
No, just absolutely, absolutely. I mean, yeah, and especially once, like you were saying about doing it for DFS, I'm gonna use it like crazy for DFS.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm most excited about, man. Is like I'm always excited when the season's here. It's August 29th. Like I'm like a freaking bull in a china shop. Like so excited, but. That's what I'm most excited about during the season is just that, like seeing how people use it. Obviously I use it for all of my research, but just seeing how everybody decides how they want to use it for an edge, because it really is that powerful. And if you're into fantasy, if you're into research, if you're a data nerd like Jorge and I are, I guarantee you, you're gonna love it.
Oh man. Well, everybody, yes. Make sure you guys know where to find Graham, at Graham Barfield on Twitter. Go to fantasypoints.com for me. That you are not going to be disappointed. You get so much great work. So, mi amigo, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Un gran placer. Also just giving a quick shout out to the Familia community. If you haven't already, if this episode drew you in, please make sure to like and subscribe, Familia FFB. So much great content coming for the season. And one last pitch, underdogfantasy.com. Use that promo code FAMILIA23. Going to get matched up to your first $100. You can find me at Jorge Martin 17 on Twitter. All the content out there. But also make sure if you want to subscribe to this on audio, Spotify for podcasters puts us out there on Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, to our invitado, Graham Barfield, muchas gracias. And muchas gracias to everybody. And remember, todos somos familia. Salud.